Okay, so last week we talked about a dynamic which plays out a bit more in this week's parsha, so maybe it's good to zero in on this this unit. So, towards the end of the parsha, the brothers have gone down to Mitzrayim. They've all been thrown in jail, then they've been sent back, with only Shimon remaining in jail. They come back home and they say, listen, we gotta go and get Binyamin, get more food. Yaakov says, no, I'm not letting you go down with Binyamin. So that stops for a while. But then, and we talked about this last week, that you know Yaakov is not always, he clearly is overridden by his sons at many times, and this is one of them. They let him have his few weeks or months or however long it is, which poor Shimon is stuck in Mitzrayim in the meantime. But when they run out of food, so this is where their respect for their father, I wouldn't say runs out, but they stop deferring to him, right? They're going to convince him one way or the other. So that's where we pick up in Perek Mem Gimel. Vayhi kasher kilu le'achol et asher asher hevi'u mimitzrayim vayomer aleihem avihem. Shuvu shivru lanu mat ochel. Now this is really, to me this is a fascinating pasuk, because it is so obviously, how am I going to say this respectfully? Well, you see from their responses, it doesn't really deserve a respectful response, which is, we told you we can't go down because he will kill us if you don't send Binyamin. Shimon is there. He'll kill us. He'll kill Shimon. You've left Shimon rotting in jail because you wouldn't send Binyamin. Right? The fact that he would just say, well, why don't you just go get food and not expect the backlash that's about to come is a little bit naive. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Vayomri love you da lemor ha'ed ha'ed banu ha'ish lemor lo tirufan I built yachichem itchem. I'm sorry, we're not going. We were told you cannot show up. So you see already that, right, now there's going to be a full frontal attack here, right? Everyone is going to press Yaakov and say, we're just not going, right? It's not happening. We're not bringing food. We'll starve to death. We're not going back down. Like, you can't have it your way. I'm sorry. And this is, right, the interesting thing, that this is the only one of the Avot where you see this dynamic. But what I think is interesting is to see what are the two models, because the two natural leaders both try to assert their influence over Yaakov. I mean, that makes sense, right? Yaakov clearly can't win this fight. But the question is, who's going to win, and who's going to convince Yaakov that he needs to give in?
Right.
So you would expect that the people would be the leaders. Now, who are the natural leaders?
Yehuda
and Reuben. Those are the people you're going to expect to step into the place. And what's amazing is that you see that their different personalities as leaders come forward, right? Sort of come to the fore in this conversation with Yaakov. Yehuda says, look, he said we can't go unless we come with our brothers. So what does Yehuda say? Right? This is Yehuda, and this is why Yehuda remains leader. What does Yehuda say? You send a brother, we can go. You don't send a brother, we can't go. There's just the facts on the table. There's just nothing. It's very cool, very calculated. And Yaakov just, right, first says, why do you tell him you had a brother? And what does Yehuda say? Or maybe all the brothers at this point, because it's plural. Vayomru, Sha'ol Sha'ol Ha'ish Lanu Mulo Tenu Lemor Ha'od Avichem Chayesh Lachem Ach. When I get law, Piyad Rameila, Hayadon Nidak Yomar Riduat Achichem. They don't buy it. Right, they don't like give in to it. Right, you see this very interesting dynamic where Yaakov is, admittedly, he's lost several sons. He is upset, but the brothers who are asserting their independence here are extremely, right. They don't give in to this. They don't start yelling and screaming. They just say, "We didn't know. He asked us about our family. We told him. We could not have seen this coming. Right? This is not." But this outburst is not called for. Now this is all the Yehuda-esque leaders, and we'll get to Yehuda's final thing in a moment. What is this contrasted with? Right? And I think this is where you see why Yehuda becomes leader with the psukim right before this, which is Reuven. Because, remember, the reason they got to this point was because the first time they tried to say, let's go down, did it work? Yeah. No. Why didn't it work?
Reuven tried.
Because Reuven tried. And listen to the difference between the way Yehuda tries and Reuven tries. Vayomer lehem Yaakov avayem. Oti shikaltem. Yosef einenu v'shimon einenu. Ved binyam tigachu alaya yachulon. You have the same emotional outburst. Right? You have, I've lost Yosef, Shimon, and now you're trying to take Binyamin, right? The same emotional intensity. But Reuven is the one who first steps in. What does he say? Vayomer Reuven el aviv lemor et shnei panai tamit im lo avienu elecha tna oto al yadi vani ashivenu elecha. If I don't bring him back, you can kill my two sons. Which, whether that's literal, which Chazal assume it is literal, and that's why the Midrash Rabbah just says, you idiot. And that's what they say. You are an idiot, Yaakov said to him. They are my children too. Right? That doesn't help. Right? If I lose Binyamin, so then I'll also kill two grandchildren because that's going to comfort me. Really? Are you... And if you think it's that, then it's really crazy. If you think it's hyperbole, still, it doesn't work because Reuven, right, responds to a burst of legitimate emotional pain with a frenzied, well, if I die, you know, I'll kill my children. Like, right? And what does he say to him? Vayomer lo yered b'niim achem, ki achiv meit, v'hu levadav nishar kro ason b'derech ha-shelchu, telchu v'avaratem etzivati b'yagon sholah. He says, it's not happening. Not happening, not going. His brother died, he's not going. Something terrible is going to happen. But if you think emotionally, why is that happening? Because if someone goes up, it works it up into a frenzy, and your response is to work it up into a bigger frenzy, good like trying to convince them, right? It's, this is going to be terrible. And he says, well, I'll make sure it doesn't, and if it is terrible, then murder my children. It's like, whoa, you have raised the volume, you have raised the panic. Doesn't work. And then you shift to Yehuda. They wait some time, and now Yehuda takes his chance. And he just says, look, we can't go without him. Yaakov yells, well, why'd you tell them? Because we didn't know. Vayomru shalosh, right? And then he says, so now how does he deal with the emotional problem? Right? So there's first he calms the situation. Then what does he say? Vayomru Yehuda Yisrael Aviv, Shulchan ar iti, venakuma, venelecha velo namut, gam anachnu, gam ata, gam tabenu. He says, listen, send him with me and none of us will die. Us and our children. Listen to his language. It's brilliant. Right? It's, I understand you care about your child. But what about us? What about our children? Yes, Binyamin is in danger, but we are all going to die. Us and our children, the people you care about. Right? It's the opposite of Reuven. Reuven, if I don't bring back Binyamin, kill my children. Yehuda says, send Binyamin, because otherwise our children will die. But there is no safe option. Right? It's the and. How does he convince him finally? It doesn't say kill my children. He says, I will take care of him. And this is the Anechi Ervenu is clearly invoking Lamed Chet, where he gives the Eravon.
Right.
He gives the Eravon and eventually takes responsibility for that Eravon, which is given to Tamar. And here, that same language comes to Anochi Arvenu. I will be his guarantor. And if I don't bring him back, I will be responsible to you. I will have sinned. I will have done something wrong. I'm taking on personal responsibility for my brother. And he says, he says, listen, had we gone down and not hesitated, we would have been back twice. Meaning, this is... Right? He's very nicely, very calmly explaining to Yaakov why rationally, even from his own perspective, he has to agree to take care of his children. He could have gotten back. He could have brought Shimon. And yes, it's dangerous, but her children on the line. And he doesn't say, and if it doesn't happen, I will, right? Well, kill my children. He says, I'll take responsibility. And if I don't bring him back, so you can hold it against me. But I'm taking personal responsibility. And what does he say? Vayomer aleihem Yisrael aviem imkein eifo zodasu. And then what does Yaakov say? If that's the case, so here's my advice. Right? Suddenly Yaakov calms down and says, okay, here's my advice. Okay, you know what? Bring a present, bring a tribute. Take double money. Right? Suddenly, not only does Yaakov say yes, what's interesting is, it's not that Yaakov says yes, that would be one thing. But what does Yaakov do? Yaakov regains his composure and he's capable of giving practical advice, saying, okay, we're doing this, I know it's hard, but look, these are the risks, this is how we're going to try to deal with the risks. Bring a tribute, bring double money to deal with the fact that we got, that your money was put back in your bag before Ve'al Shaddai Yitin Lachem Racham Mevea Yishra Shalach Lachem Erechem Achev Ebinamin Vani Kasher Shaholdi Holdi, and God will protect, and if something bad happens, so it'll be terrible, but what can you do, right? It's this, God will help you, and I understand. It might go badly, but there's nothing I can do.
Right.
And when you see the difference, I think it's just this amazing, just reading the Psukim, you realize why Reuven can't be leader. Because Yaakov's description in Vayechi, that Pachas Kamayim Al Totar, right, that he is hasty, like flowing water. It's not just in the Bilhah story. His personality is just like this. And even when he's trying to do the right thing, he's just... Right, and even when he saved Yosef's life in last week's parsha, the psukim say that it didn't work. Meaning he didn't quite think it through. He was trying. His heart was in the right place. He said, "Okay, throw him in a pit so that I can go back and save him." But only he knew that it didn't work out because, right, that's not his personality, right, and the Torah goes out of its way to contrast and says, "You want." Look, Yaakov, as we've already seen, isn't always the leader in his family. The sons really do assert their leadership role. But if you want to know who's going to be the leader, this is the unit in which you see. Reuven is this, right, response to passion and fear with passion and fear, and it makes things worse. Yehuda is able to calm a situation, say, listen, this is the calculus, is able to frame it not in hyperbole, but in very simple responsibility. I will take responsibility, that's what it is to be a leader, trust me or don't. And you see, not only does Yehuda win, but Yehuda, and this is what good leadership does, it manages to take people who are emotionally distraught and can't think about things clearly, to bring them back to a place of not happiness, but of at least serenity, where they can understand why you have to make the emotionally hard decisions to save the other children. And it allows Yaakov to say, and here's my strategic advice, and this is how you should do it, and God will be with you, and I understand bad things can happen, but I'm willing to take the risk. And it's that ability of Yehuda that really makes him emerge as the leader, right? Someone who, again, not only is he calculated, not only can he calm a situation, but he can get other people to realize what the right thing to do is, and get other people to do the right thing even when it's hard, which is really a very impressive thing in leadership. And the way to do that is to recognize, you know, people's pain, calm the situation, rather than giving in to the frenzy. And Reuven, right, loses his leadership role because consistently his personality is more on that, on the frenzied side, which is why that's how Yaakov describes him, right? And it doesn't seem to be just the Bilhah story. Like I said, it seems anytime Reuven steps up to the plate, it doesn't have the royal responsibility that emerges when you read the Psukim about Yehuda, and you see it not just in how he talks, but in the effects that it has on other people. Okay.